Hello, I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to
Two Peas in a Podcast,
a relationship advice show from two people who like each other very, very
much. How are you today, Delbert?
Stephanie, I'm struggling because we lost an hour.
The hour
thief has returned. Every spring he returns. Lost that hour. I stayed up last night, watched wrestling, and so it's of my own.
What time did you go to bed? We didn't even talk about that.
Like 11:30. It wasn't really
That's not too bad.
It wasn't that late, but you know, when you're in like new time life, it's like, oh, it's really 12:30 or something.
Yeah,
was
I
it?
Know what you
No,
mean.
But it was really.
You're constantly doing the math for what you're really
but was
at.
Was it 10:30? I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
Who knows? But the time thing really messed me up, and I'm just real tired, but I'm doing very good. I'm loving the sunlight. I'm loving the fresh air more.
Good.
It's not dark all the time.
That's true. That is nice. We did just put Carly to bed, and typically, or for the past few weeks, it's been pretty dark out, but it's weird putting her to bed with the sun out.
She's not at that age. I've been over at friends' houses where it's the daylight thing has changed, and they're like, but it's still light out. It's not bedtime. Luckily, she is young enough where she can't comprehend much.
So yeah.
It worked out.
She didn't complain.
She did not complain. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are you?
Good. Tired. It's Monday. But The Bachelor's on tonight, so I'm excited for that.
The finale. Who's going to bring it home?
I already looked up the spoiler, so I know. So really, I'm just watching the train wreck come home.
Oh.
That's okay.
So you know. This time, when you're listening to this tomorrow, the news will be out about Colton and where he ran off to.
He did. The spoilers for the season, because everyone really is interested in The Bachelor, is Colton jumps over a fence to get away from a problem. And that's where we've been left.
Sometimes I wish I could do that.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? But okay, Stephanie, since we can't jump over any sort of fence and to get out of this situation, what do we do here?
So this is Two Peas in a Podcast. It's a relationship show from two people that like each other very, very much. The second half of our show, which we'll get to in a little bit, is The Split, where we take a relationship article torn from the headlines. This week we are on part three of three weeks of talking about workplace-related research and relationships.
Work. We had toenails. We had cubicles. And now, what? I'm just waiting. What else could it be?
Now it's, so 2030 is not that far away.
Ugh.
So it's an article talking about what you'll need to do in the workplace to succeed.
Be able to fight off robots.
Actually.
Okay. Anyway.
And then the first part of our show, which we're going to kick off right now, is P's and Q's. It's a question from you, our pod squad. You ask us a question and we talk about it. So, Delbert, hit me.
Here's our question for today. And before I get to that, if you have a question for us, you can send it to us at contactppodcast@gmail.com and we'll read your question on the air. Okay, Stephanie, here we go. Dear Peas, I'm a mother of two adult daughters. Becky is 27 and Julie is 23. Not their real names, but you get what I'm saying. Becky and her boyfriend of 4 years just broke up a few months ago, and she was just gutted. I've never seen her so sad. Fast forward to now, and I just got a phone call from Julie to say that she has a new boyfriend. It's Becky's ex. She says they just ran into each other at a bar, started talking, and they are falling in love. She thinks there is a chance Becky would be happy for them, and she wants my help telling her sister about the new romance. I was trying to explain to Julie why Becky would be deeply hurt by this, but she really honestly thinks that true love should always be given a chance. What should I do?
So which one is Becky and which one is Julie?
Becky is the older one who got broken up with.
Okay.
Julie is the younger one who is, to take a word from Bachelor, I am falling in love with you, with the ex. They always say that. I am falling in love with you.
Yeah. Well.
What would you do as the parent? in the situation, or a friend, what to do. Mother in need.
I don't know if this thought is totally right, but in my opinion, when someone walks into a situation, you can usually tell if their mind is made up. And your gut should be able to tell you to some degree whether this is a choice that she's looking for affirmation on, or this is something she wants like an opinion on, and there's room to lead her one way or the other.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Not a lot of times when I read a question, like we've gone through a lot of questions, and when I got this question in, I got those like cringy chills. I read it and I was just like, oh no, this is the worst. I need to go away. It sounded like a really bad situation.
I think if I were talking to Julie, I would say, Julie, hard pass on this relationship. Like, No.
I'm just thinking about this guy that he's like, I dated your sister for 4 years. You want to date me now? No.
I did know a guy who dated a sister. They broke up and then married a sister. But okay. I think they dated 2 weeks.
It's because the mom makes really good casserole and he just can't get enough.
Well, and so I've seen one work out, but the time frame was not long. It was enough to not...
It was more like they were twins and he got confused on who was who in that situation.
4 years, though, is like...
That's significant.
50 times longer than Kim Kardashian's first marriage. In Kardashian years, that's like 3 decades.
That is 3 decades. So what to do? She's asking you for your... So she's not even saying, is this a good or bad idea? She's just saying, hey, help me tell sis about I'm dating her ex-boyfriend.
I think I would say I love you. And that you always want your daughters in your lives. However, this is a choice where if she chooses to go on with it, then I think it needs to be her responsibility for how that's communicated. And I think you're walking that hard line because you don't want to push your daughter away if she goes into a new relationship. However, this is a relationship that could hurt a family.
Yes.
What do you think?
It would be so awkward. It would be so awkward and feels icky. I think everything you said is correct. And as the parent, I don't know because I'm not a parent. If I was a friend, I don't know how that would work. I wouldn't want my friends dating my child that was also my friend. I think the only thing I could do is just be like, listen, you need to really think about it a lot before you talk to your sister about this. I will go next to you when you tell her. No.
I would say strong no. This has to be all her.
All her?
All 1,000%. No,
I would go
next
to you to be against you when you said it and to say how I'm not for it.
I would say if this is a choice she is making, this needs to be only her, because imagine if you are the sister, and now who's coming to you?
Mom
and your sister.
Oh, yeah, bad.
You feel doubly attacked, and you feel like however you're feeling after this breakup, no.
Okay, you do you. You got to do this on your own.
Yes.
I dare you to do it on your own.
I think if you're looking for advice on one way to talk to your daughter about it, I think one way to talk to her about why it's good or bad, it's like when you start a relationship, you're in the infatuation part for the first, I don't know, how long?
A little while.
Yeah, where everything is just good and hunky-dory and fantastic. So that's what she's seeing. And in her brain, she probably can't even see the negatives because she's so infatuated. So something that can help people move beyond how they're feeling is a pros and cons list. So I think one idea could be to suggest to your daughter, I think you need to think about this. One way to think about it would be to make a pros and cons list. Pro.
Of if she should be dating him or if she should tell her.
Pro if she should even be dating this guy.
Yeah, okay. You're right. I'm thinking that it sounds like she doesn't even have the space to comprehend of what would be a con, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is crazy to me. Because it's all con. The whole thing's con.
Well, the pro is she thinks she could be in love and he could be fantastic. I mean, because if Sif's dated him 4 years, he's got potential. That is the only potential pro in this.
Mm-hmm. Familiarity.
Cons. Ugh, familiarity is extra familiar. Gross.
Familiar. I'm familiar.
Think ahead.
He's used your bathroom. He knows where everything is.
That's probably another pro.
Around the house. He knows all of your family's secrets. He's been there.
Con.
Everything I just said is also a con.
What are Christmases going to be like?
Oh, boy.
Hey, Jimmy Buffett. Do you remember when you were dating? And when you're 60, when they're 60, he's always going to be the guy that dated your sister first. Like, this is not something you live down.
4 years.
For 4 years.
Broader scope picture. What do you think and what do you feel about this whole thing of like, I think every opportunity of love deserves a chance? Because I don't know if that's true. Because it could just be like you're just like horny or infatuated. And maybe it's not love.
Well, is it worth your sister?
Well, to her, it sounds like it is.
Well, you're giving up your sister, your mom, and potentially all of your relationship for some guy who couldn't even make it work with your sister.
Well, that's the thing. People think that it's like there are people like I see on movies and TVs and stuff that like love is worth that. Giving up on your family and like turning on your sister almost.
It's not. It might be worth it for a few years. In the long run, sure, the first 4 or 5 years, great, charming, fantastic. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, think long term. The long-term viability of this, your odds and success of making it out of this really well are so minimal that it's not worth the pain that it's going to cause a lot of people.
And I think as mom in this situation, you got to think long term, long thing. And that's just like, you've got to let this, your younger daughter, you know, it sounds like she's just really, really immature. And you just need to like let her fail at this.
I would be kind about it because you definitely want to keep your daughter. But I would definitely suggest that you try to help her as a mother work out a pros and cons of this.
That sounds good. That sounds very good. This went way deeper than I thought it would.
Yeah.
This is many layers.
That's tough.
That is a tough one. Mm-hmm. Tough one. Have you ever been in a situation like this?
No, I haven't. No. No. Nope.
No. Nope, me neither. So, but I do know how relationships work, and this is not how they work.
Strong pass, yeah.
Strong pass on this one. Oh, we do not envy you in this situation, dear mother. But I pray that it goes well for you, and I think it's going to. And be there with Becky. She's going to need you here in a little bit. That's for sure. I said Becky, so you know what that means.
The Split, where we take a relationship article torn from the headlines and talk about it.
Okay, Stephanie, I am ready for the cherry on top of our business suite. A three-part series coming to an end right here.
So this article is from Inc.com, and it's called, according to research, we all need to do this to succeed in 2030, which is only 11 years away.
The future.
And so I looked so it was International Women's Day, Friday, and I thought about doing research or an article on women in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be honest, downers.
You said women in the workplace, and I'm like, I bet it's really sad.
And not everything can be positive, but just reading about stats about inequality in the workplace was really depressing. I wanted to give that a quick shout out, though, because it is still a big issue, and International Women's Day is a really cool thing where we can celebrate women.
Mm-hmm.
However, didn't want a downer.
Okay.
Probably talk about something in the future.
Mm-hmm.
This, I thought would be fun, though, because the advice could be helpful for anyone, and we want you all to succeed in relationships in the workplace.
And if your workplace stuff is going well, chances are your other stuff is going pretty well.
Maybe.
It's possible.
So you had kind of mentioned something about robots.
Yes. In the future, we will have to fight robots for our jobs.
Not true.
What?
So in the future, automation is supposedly going to create more jobs.
Really?
So there's a direct quote from the article that workers of the future will likely spend more time on activities that require applying expertise, interacting with and managing people, and less time on predictable physical activities like collecting data and processing data where machines already exceed human performance.
Mm, so befriend the robots.
Yes.
Become their friend.
Be good to them.
Be good to the robots.
Tell them they're pretty.
I've never been mean to a robot, so I think in 2019 here I'm doing pretty well.
Good, okay. The key to succeeding in the future, then, besides befriending the robots, is being more emotionally intelligent.
I've heard of that.
I feel like it's a buzzword.
I feel like I hear that a lot with, like, emotional intelligence, but nobody actually knows what it means.
Well, it gets a little cringy because you hear it all the time. However, it is really important in the workplace and in life in general.
Hmm.
So according to Stanford University, their School of Business did an article called Psychology of Kindness in the Workplace.
Mm-hmm.
What they ended up finding that was that in order for workplaces to be really successful, it's incredibly important that you end up creating a culture of caring and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cultures, there's a lot more success and people are happier working.
I believe that because when I feel cared for and compassion towards me, I think I do better.
I agree.
As opposed to a hostile, negative work environment where no one cares about you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where the machines take over.
Where the machines take over.
Where your sister steals your boyfriend. Where just saying.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh.
Sorry, Becky.
Becky, yeah.
So the article gives 3 tips for what you can do to have better emotional intelligence in the workplace.
Okay.
Number 1. Increase your self-awareness.
So being emotional intelligent, it means just like knowing what's up, being aware. And so self-awareness is very key to that.
Yeah, I don't know how you ever get better at anything if you lack awareness on how you are at that thing.
Well, what if you're just really, really good at it? Just naturally.
Well, there you go.
What if you know all about it?
We'll just quit right now. Something this article says, though, is if you really want to take this seriously, one thing it suggests is hiring a therapist or a coach that will help you be more self-aware.
Yeah, and I feel the fact that you went out of your way to get a coach for self-awareness, that's a very good first step.
There's also books on emotional intelligence and 8 steps, 7 steps, 6 steps. There's a lot of books on emotional intelligence, so I don't think a therapist is a bad idea for something like this.
Oh, no.
I think there's also more affordable options, too.
Okay. All right.
And then among the lines of increasing self-awareness, it also really encourages being more vulnerable in the workplace.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Be more open. Usually, you know, traditionally the workplace is a place where you are stoic and you are serious and no emotions and you just do your work. Like Don Draper, no emotions.
Well, and it's interesting because I was talking to an older coworker who said never wanted to show any emotion, vulnerable, doesn't share anything. And I had read Brené Brown's book that talks about vulnerability, and she says the complete opposite.
Really?
So I think there's a cultural shift happening.
Who's the one with the book, old worker person?
I know, Brené.
Yeah, and she is very emotionally intelligent.
And then the other part about increasing your self-awareness is taking feedback. People give you feedback?
You got to take it.
And listen to it. Do something with it.
Listen to it. Do something. But that is tricky. That is very tricky because people don't necessarily like being like critiqued. But I think if you're creating that safe, encouraging environment, it sort of, like in steps 2 and 1, it sort of changes the vibe of the feedback, I think.
Oh, well, I'm still on step 1 for self-awareness. There's still 2 more.
Oh!
I guess this would be self-awareness.
Sub 1 and 2 and 3.
Yes.
Okay. Subgroups. Got it.
But yes, I mean, your point is still the same, though.
Mm-hmm.
Step 2.
Step 2, point 2.
Point, step, thesis.
Thesis.
enough with comparisons.
Okay.
Sub point one of three.
Okay.
Figure out what you're really good at.
Mm-hmm.
Del, what are you really good at work?
I am good at making up a lot of little things and taking other people's ideas and making them manageable and understandable for just the internet world.
Good. Now that you know that, stop making comparisons for other people and what they're good at and try to focus on how you can take your skills and get even better at that.
Okay, I can do that.
That's sub point three.
Okay.
I'm going to skip to two, which says, they found that when you compare yourself to others, you end up performing worse.
Oh, really?
Because you're not doing your own best. You're doing not as well as Jimmy
and
accounting.
You're doing like a shade, like not a shady, but just like a subpar copy of someone else's best.
Yes.
They didn't hire you to be Jeremy's like copy. They hired you for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So be you.
Be you.
Number three, thesis.
Okay.
I like this one. I think you're going to like it too.
Okay.
Be curious.
Be curious.
And so 2 points, kind of similar though. The first is, stop being so closed-minded about everything.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that. Now, you are a very curious person.
I'm exceptionally curious.
What are your tips for being curious? How do you keep being the curious person that you are? Is it just internal?
I think the best thing anyone ever said to me is in college on our, you know, they say you never remember a college graduation, but I remembered this point. I can't remember who said it, but the person got up and said, like, today is the first day of learning that every single day for the rest of your life, you're going to be a learner.
Wow.
And I really liked that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's true. Go into every single day, never thinking you know everything, being really open-minded to every day I can learn something new.
Well, I'm learning something right now.
There you go.
That learning is good.
That's what they taught us in college. Ugh. And so with that, number three, sub-point two, last point, in closing, be very open-minded.
I don't know about that.
I know. Stupid. What do these idiots know about anything?
I don't know. Doesn't sound too good to me. Be open-minded. Now, what does that mean to you, Stephanie?
I think it could mean a lot of things. I think one thing that it means is I have ideas and plans for stuff. Something that I struggle with is what they call being agile or being able to move in between whatever rigidity that you have and being flexible there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also, part of it is just being non-judgmental. That's what the article talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So not coming into situations having preconceived notions about how things should be.
That's really hard to do because it's like we grow up basing our whole lives around being able to judge what things should and shouldn't be. And like that's kind of how we function and stay safe, sort of. And so to realize that, like, no, it's actually better to, like, just kind of see what's going on.
Yeah.
And experience things as they come, especially in the workplace. Like, I think that's really cool.
I think so, too. I think it's good advice. Because I'm sure you find this, too, but every department has another culture. Different workplaces have another culture. Different cubicles.
Mm-hmm.
So being open-minded about why people do things the way they do, I think is really
well,
valuable.
Yeah, like I'll step down to the business office and they're just like two doors down and they're right there. But it's just a totally different world than my office, you know, which is a bit more creative and, you know, it's marketing department. So we're all like all over the place and loud and crazy. And you go in there and it's all just very quiet.
Typing, lots of typing,
lots of quiet. And it's just like, but you have to respect their space and be open to that. You know, not like, what are these duds doing in here? Like, this is what they do. And they're very good at their job, you know? So it's very cool. Be open-minded.
And that is how you will succeed and not be overtaken by the robots in 2030.
Do you think they're going to get emotionally intelligent? They are artificially intelligent. Do they have emotional intelligence?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out in 11 years.
All right. Well, Stephanie, thank you for sharing that with us today. Again, you've been listening to Two Peas in a Podcast. Thanks for joining us for our episode. If you would like, this is our 99th episode, so we have a whole bunch of stuff back there you can listen to on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, even on Spotify, where all the good podcast places are. If you'd like to connect with us, you can do so at contactppodcast@gmail.com or visit our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/ppodcast. Stephanie, I think that's all I've got today. Anything else from you?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can like each other
very, very, very much.